Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this weekend's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us on a blustery, cold winter day, I guess, there in Houston. It's not that away over here in Southeast Asia. It was, I think we were in the 90s today, pretty sure. I even sweated a little walking around. So anyway, I'll take the warm weather. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we will be talking about assorted tax strategies in the context of real estate, private partnership, syndication, investing, and these strategies may or may not apply with your specific facts and circumstances, so you should always consult with your existing legal, tax, accounting, and investment advisors, be it real estate or otherwise, to make sure that you heard what you thought you heard, and let them, presumably they're more familiar with your facts and circumstances than somebody just walking up, but in any event, let them discuss with you the relative merits of each strategy or each opportunity. For those of you that don't have existing advisors, feel free to go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And go to the link second from the top right, the forms link, and that'll take you to four forms. If you'll just do at least the first one, that'll give us enough to discuss your facts and circumstances as it relates to our services and whether we can sync up with what you need to help you achieve your goals and objectives. You don't have to necessarily fill the forms out before you set up a call, but we'd sure appreciate that because it lets us have a better phone call for you, or we could be more specific in any questions we answer. So that would be our preference. But the call link is there at the far right, and we'll do an introductory phone call with you if you're not yet a client, or we don't have your data yet. We'll probably hold it to less than that even. But in any event, we appreciate you tuning in. And just, again, I hate to be redundant for those that listen often, but I want to make sure the new folks understand what we discuss. And essentially, we discuss how to invest in real estate private partnership syndications. These partnerships involve multiple investors that are passively pooling their funds together in a partnership. And these transactions occur within the context of the United States Security Exchange Commission's crowdfunding statute. Relatively new statute. It came about I believe it originated during the Obama administration. It's been updated a couple times with new legislation, and then there's been assorted rulings and regulations, et cetera, that have been issued by SEC. But within these partnerships, a syndicator, also known as a sponsor, also known as a lead partner in many cases, serves as a manager. The manager who is responsible for choosing a property, performing due diligence to determine whether or not it merits a potential acquisition, and then arranging for the acquisition should they move forward, including undertaking the necessary debt placement and equity raise to put the capital structure or capital stack, a lot of people refer to, together to enable this partnership to lift off. And the manager role is also task, T-A-S-K-E-D. They may also be taxed as well, but anyway, they are definitely tasked with managing the ongoing operations of the partnership and the partnership's assets throughout its existence. And as I've mentioned before, we at Be A Planner or MP Ross CPAs do not sell investments, nor do we recommend or promote specific investments, syndicators, sponsors, or lead partners. Rather, we assist you or assist your understanding of what you're signing up for, quote unquote, regarding opportunities you may be considering already, or we may refer to something generally on the air that you may want to check out. And we will show you how to evaluate sponsors, opportunities, and private placement offerings so that ultimately we hope you can select projects which achieve the higher odds or highest odds of a favorable outcome. As I've said many times, a syndication is not a syndication, is not a syndication. And what I mean by that is every syndication, every partnership opportunity is different. And even if you've invested with the same lead partner, the same syndicator, 8 times, the next time is going to be different. And if you're a member of one of the real estate investor mentor platforms, investor platforms, if you think all those opportunities are the same, well, I got news for you. I know the largest organization, I believe, in the U.S. is based here in Houston, and they've probably got, I don't know, 350 to 400 individual syndicators, and yet you'll notice if you listen to their radio show, which is on every day on this station, I believe, you're rarely going to hear from more than, you know, 10 to 20 or so a year, and it'll be the same 10 or 20 in most cases. And why is that? Well, because the other ones aren't hitting any grand slams. And or doubles, as the case may be, or they would be getting interviewed. They would be speaking with self-made millionaire about their success and what brought them to that organization and how they decided to undertake a lead partner role. And it's all good information. I think it's marvelous that normal people can participate in this investment undertaking and involve other normal people, i.e. the passive investors. It's truly remarkable. They're not the only source, however, and they don't really help you in terms of picking the deals that you go into. I mean, if they did, they would be cannibalizing the other or lead partners that also are trying to hit a lick, so to speak, with their projects. So most of our clients are members of these platforms, and they prefer an independent voice helping them understand what a transaction's about. And having been a member of several of these platforms, I know them pretty well. And I can suggest to you how to exploit your membership. If you have the extra $20,000, $25,000 available, I wholeheartedly recommend them. But I recommend that you align yourself with an advisor that can look over your shoulder help you understand what you're signing up for, because it's different on every transaction. Irrespective of what you may be told, It's different on every transaction. So anyway, all that said, let's turn to the news. I've added some articles since the Friday show got by us, and some really, really outstanding articles this past week. And let me get to that page. And the page that I'm referring to is the companion site to the BeAPlanner.com site. It's specifically for the radio program. It's called BeAPlannerShow.com. And if you'll go to the resources tab at the top right and click the down arrow, you'll see news and videos. And I would direct you to the news section. And you'll see I've added, if you happen to tune in Friday and looked at the list, we've added one, two, three, so four new ones are on that list. And each one of them is a pretty thorough read. And we're just going to touch them lightly today, but we'll circle back because, again, each one of these could be an entire show in and of themselves. The first one that I wanted to direct your attention to, and I talked about this on Friday's show, but I didn't have the article out there. It's an article about, let's see, it's a video. Actually, it's an article, but it, as with other Fox News videos, they present it as both a video and an article. So the quote that Jamie Dimon makes, and then they go into detail, is the U.S. economy is starting to look more like the 70s. And I think I botched that discussion on Friday. I think I said he said it was more like the 2008, 9, and 10 debt malaise. I think the 2008, 9, and 10 debt malaise was not quite as bad as the 70s. And the issue is, despite, as the article starts off, well, first of all, Dimon is skeptical of an economic, as he calls it, Goldilocks scenario in terms of a soft landing. And he's not convinced that the Federal Reserve can achieve a soft landing, as are many economists now. It seems like most of them feel like the Fed has the wind at their back, but not Jamie Dimon. And Dimon's been right many times when he calls the balls and strikes on the economy. But anyway, he was on Mornings with Maria on Fox Business, and he warned about the possibility of a looming recession, while comparing the financial state of the country to the turbulent period of 50 years ago when the nation endured a decade of high inflation. And I remember that decade. I was going to undergraduate school at the University of Houston during the latter part of the 70s. And, boy, I'll never forget, I believe, 20 or 21% prime rates. It was up there, and as my I happened to be taking a corporate finance class when it was at its peak, and I'll never forget my professor. To this day, I can remember him commenting that when you've got prime rates in those stratas, you know, in the stratosphere, if you're a CEO, you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Yeah, because your cost of capital is higher than your gross profit margins used to be, or may still be. I mean, it was tough for a lot of industries. But in any event, he points out, and this is something you're seeing other economists refer to. I can't remember who else I was reading this week, but the concept that the extra COVID money is running out, and you know, the government put so much into the economy that a lot of people have been bolstered their monthly budgets by still spending some of the savings they put away during COVID. But he thinks there's a chance that inflation may come down, bounces around that 3% mark, and maybe even bounces up a little bit. And he said those implied curves will change after that. He said, are people ready for that? I'm not sure. And so, anyway, just some words of wisdom. And I enjoy reading what Diamond comes out with from time to time, because he's a real businessman. He's not just sitting in an ivory tower somewhere. And in any event, that's a good, quick, easy read or listen if you want to click the button for the video. Let's do this. It's time to take our first break. If you'll stick around, we'll be back here momentarily with more of this weekend's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And next article I wanted to mention is, here's what it's like to retire on almost nothing but Social Security. And that article was Wall Street Journal, came out on the 6th. I'm not sure if you'll be able to read it if you click the link. Depends on if you've read your free allotment. If you do want to access that, let me know. I think I've got a few free links I can pass out on my subscription. But in any event, 1 in 7, roughly 1 in 7 Social Security recipients ages 65 and older depend on their Social Security benefits for nearly all of their income in retirement, according to a AARP analysis. Says unable to maintain the lifestyle of their working years, they trim their already trim budgets, move into smaller homes, or rely on the kindness of relatives to get by. I'm not sure. I mean, this article, by the way, is not promoting the concept of retiring with solely your Social Security, but folks, that's the reality of a lot of people, and I would suggest that one reason we like real estate private partnerships, if you have any assets that you can invest, I would tell you, you know, $75,000, $100,000 or more would be ideal. You can get started, and the real estate private partnership arena tends to generate higher than average returns than stock market or mutual fund type investments. Of course, it varies with the real estate cycles that we've seen, but if you look at it over the years, and in fact, I've got an article pinned on that same page of the BAPlannerShow.com website. It's the resources page, and then you go one more link level down, click news, and it's called The Rate of Return on Everything from 1870 to 2015. It was a Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco study, or they call it a working paper. I believe it was issued in 2017. And that compares the returns over a long period of time, the ups and downs, all the cycles of stocks, bonds, and real estate. And I think if you take a look at that, you'll understand why we like real estate. And we don't for a moment pretend that there's no cycles. And we also don't pretend, as do some of the platforms, I know we've got one here in Houston where I've heard it many times, that we make money in the down market, we make money in the up market. Well, that's probably a true statement, but what's being overlooked there, it's usually not the same people. In other words, the people making money in the down market are the ones that are coming into the market at that point, snagging properties at below market values. Unfortunately, the ones that just invested a year or two ago may not be doing that. In fact, the odds are they're not doing that unless they stick in those investments long enough to see the net operating income and therefore the value go back up. And so be careful. Listen to what you're being told. When somebody tells you, as I've also seen recently, one of the leaders of the local platforms claims to have invested passively in 4,000 units at one time and was generating, I believe he said, $1 million a year. I mean, that's in a public post, so you could probably find it as well. And I would question that. I would ask to see a copy of your tax return for any year in which you receive that much profit. And maybe he's just counting cash flow, and that's fine. Give me the K-1s from those partnerships, and I can add. I got a 10-key. I don't think that's ever happened. And what I've learned is the folks that run these mentor platforms, there's a lot of talk because they know it's not really verifiable. And I know I've heard some stories told by you know, assorted gurus where I was there for a time or two when I was a member, and it's odd that some of those stories were never mentioned back 15, 16, 17, 20 years ago, and now I listen to them on the air, and they're claiming, they're telling stories that supposedly happened back before the time I was a member, and yet those stories were never told during the 10-year that I was there. And I'm going to question a lot of the rhetoric that you hear designed to separate you from $20,000 to $25,000 that you really don't, there's no mandate that you spend the money to get access to real estate private partnerships. It's a different world now. It's like the travel agent of yesteryear. We don't buy our tickets by calling up a travel agent and asking them to go find my options. No, you go to Google Flights, wonderful site. Doesn't cost you a penny to use Google Flights. And you can do your research. You can find your options. It's an amazing database. And when you find the itinerary you want, you can click a link to go right into the website of each of the carriers that might be flying on the various segments. I know when I fly to and from Thailand, there's usually two or three carriers that'll be involved on different segments. And I can book that flight on whichever one of the three has the best deal, if I so choose to. Typically, I'm also playing the points game, so I'm going to stay to where I can get the points into that United or All Nippon Airline pool. But in any event, you don't need, unlike yesteryear, you know, 5-6 years ago, you didn't have as many choices in terms of being able to find syndicated investments in real estate where you can buy direct, so to speak. Don't have to go through a platform. And yet I will tell you that the platform I mentioned, that's the largest one, they maintain an exclusivity on their platform. They won't let anyone offer a partnership that's not part of their membership. Which could be good, could be bad, depends on what they're missing out. And I know they're missing out on some syndicators that will deal direct with you that are good syndicators and have been to the finish line more than a couple times. So, you know, again, if you like joining clubs, you got the extra money, spend the extra $20,000 to do that. Otherwise, consider working with us. And we'll help you learn about other sources, and we'll help you analyze what you're signing up for. You're going to need somebody like us anyway, is what I would suggest, to either handle the tax reporting correctly or help you plan on the tax front to where you're able to offset gains in the years that you've got dispositions with losses or deductions from new transactions that you get into in the same tax year. But in any event, back to the Social Security article, you know, in 1940, when the program was new, and I'm reading or summarizing some of this information, Social Security replaced just over 20% of a typical worker's income at age 65. As Congress enhanced the benefits, the figure rose to about 50% in the early 80s, and now it stands at under 40%, and I guess that's inflation, right? Or it's cost of, well, it's inflation. Obviously, it's the cost of living. The average monthly Social Security check is about $1,900. That doesn't go as far as it once did. According to Sandy Markwood, she's the CEO, or he, I'm not sure if that's a he or she, or they or them, of U.S. Aging, adding that inflation and rising rents have led more older Americans to seek help from her nonprofit's Elder Care Locator Pool and other organizations that provide support to seniors. So this article, and I would direct you to the article to read into the details, but I wanted to bring this up. You know, as someone that lives in Southeast Asia for the most part of the year, I'm going to tell you there's a lot of Westerners, a lot of U.S. expats here in Thailand, Bangkok, north, you know, Chiang Mai, and south, you know, Phuket, that area. And they're living simply on Social Security. $1,900 a month will go a long way in a market where you can get a nice apartment or condo. You can rent it if you care to for I don't know, $600 to $700 a month. I mean, that's really nice stuff, okay? High-rise level. And I'm reminded of the medical care affordability because I just had a visit today to one of my doctors and had like a 45-minute consult follow-up visit and assessing some of my recent blood work, which I'm happy to tell you I had LDL of 70 and an A1C of 5.7. I feel empowered. I've turned a corner. But in any event, that 45-minute visit was a total of 400 baht. That's $12 U.S. And so, you know, there are certain things that are just empowering in the right cultures, in the right country. And, you know, the Philippines and Thailand are two of those. And I don't care if you're married or single, especially if you're single and looking for females that still value the patriarch. These two places are your oyster, you know. And I would strongly suggest that if you've got the wherewithal to get here, this is a great place to hang out if all you've got to live on is Social Security. More than enough, especially if you're married and you both have Social Security. Okay, let's move on to another article. Boy, this is a good article, and this is a read. You need to save some time to take this one down. It's the Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss, and it's the American Prospect, and they've got an article about how Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House, got almost precisely the same appropriations deal as Kevin McCarthy negotiated. Now, I'm not sure that's what everybody thought Mike Johnson signed up for. I'm not sure that he ultimately won't prevail and getting a more of a cut on spending, because he basically got the $1.6 trillion deficit the current year's funding, and that's what it's going to work out to by the time the dust settles, supposedly, although there's still some work to do. And I just $1.6 trillion dollars being spent, more than we've got tax receipts scheduled to come in. And that's effectively the discretionary part of the budget, the part that we can actually affect with what we decide we're going to spend. All borrowed. It's just insanity. But if you take a look at that article in detail, it'll help you understand the rhetoric that's going back and forth. Keep your eye on the Freedom Caucus ball, because they tend to be real good at smelling out these, quote, compromises between the president and the Senate and the House. And they're calling this deal a travesty, that, you know, we're still not cutting spending. And it's referred to, the House Freedom Caucus called out Johnson's fuzzy math immediately when this was announced, and pointed out that he conveniently left out the $69 billion side deal that Biden had negotiated with McCarthy before McCarthy was fired, effectively, in large measure because of the Freedom Caucus. This is, quote, this is total failure, the HFC, that's the House Freedom Caucus, tweeted. And I don't know. I mean, these congressmen have a strange way of doing math. And again, I would encourage everybody that's got 30 minutes to on our resource page I've actually moved it to where it's pinned now on the news page. You don't need to go to the video page. But the Arizona Republican David Schweikert videos, 30 minutes, tears into Republicans and Democrats alike over the deficit rhetoric that each of them use. And he calls out the deficit spending and their theoretical fixes that, as he points out, it's purely rhetoric. It has no reality in terms of moving the needle. You can raise taxes. If you're Democrats, you could take every dollar above $400,000 in income from those that make it. And if you're a Republican that says, well, if we just quit giving all of our money to the other countries in the world through foreign aid, like Ukraine and Israel, and I don't know, I haven't seen a list. I need to come up with a list of how much we give by country just so you can see. But, again, add that up, multiply it by, I don't know, three or four, it's still nowhere near enough to move the needle on these $1.6 trillion deficits. And the problem is we're running out very quickly of the discretionary budget that we're going to be able to continue borrowing for, because we're not even going to be able to afford the interest on the debt. And the interest on the debt this year, for the first time, fiscal year, will be $1 trillion or more. $1 trillion. We borrow 6.5 to, I don't know, depends on which assumption sets you want to use, somewhere between 6.5 and $8 billion a day. It works out, according to Schweikert's video, works out to, I believe, $78,000 per second. It's rather extreme. And that doesn't count the unfunded mandate that we've got, or all the unfunded mandates that we have. And, you know, for those of you that aren't aware, the four largest components of the budget each year is Medicare, Medicaid, that's $1.7 plus trillion. Social Security is almost $1.4 trillion. The defense and war spending is currently $850 billion, so it's just under a trillion. And the interest on the debt thus far this year is $729,000 this fiscal year. So those are your four largest categories. And the share of the debt now, which is $34 trillion and $34 billion, is $101,298 per citizen, and it's $264,000 per taxpayer. That's our theoretical share for each of us, depending on whether you're talking man, woman, and child, or whether you're simply talking about taxpayers. And that's a killer. The debt to GDP, which is probably the most telling statistic, and again, this varies based on which assumption set economists that you read use. I've seen this number posited as higher, but apparently right now, we're at 122% of our GDP. That would be the debt. The federal, the U.S. federal debt is 122% of GDP. This far exceeds the level that the Congressional Budget Office projected we would be at when they delivered their 2009 report to Congress on what we need to do to fix the deficit. And back then, we had about a $9 trillion deficit. We were sitting at about 30 to 35% of U.S. federal debt to GDP, and the Congressional Budget Office, which they're about this good on most things they try to project on, they projected we wouldn't hit 100% of GDP until 2040 to 2042 time frame. So It's another one of their calls of the balls and strikes where they struck out, and they probably swung at a lot of bad pitches on the way to that strikeout. But anyway, let's take our last break. I've gone past the break once again, or the point we should have taken it. And I'll be back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. And I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment, final 10 minutes or so of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I had one more article on the list, and this one's freely available. It's a FoxBusiness.com article, and it's entitled, "This is the Best Time to Give Money to Your Kids," according to Die with Zero author Bill Perkins. Parents should give their money, subtitle, parents should give their money when they're mentally and physically mature. I'm assuming he's talking about the kids. Although I know some in my generation, you might not know for sure who they're talking about. But anyway, Die with Zero author and hedge fund manager Bill Perkins told Fox Business's Neil Cavuto, don't wait until you die. And he shares an approach of how to share wealth with your children while spending to live comfortably. And I haven't read this thoroughly. I'm going to, because I think this probably has some strategies that we would all be wise to consider. But I do agree with the concept of using all of our resources before we die. And that obviously includes some type of legacy plan. And he makes a great point here. We don't want to go to work and have no reward. So it makes sense to spend that capital that you get from working before you die. And in any event, he said, you know, however, you don't have to give money to your children, but if they are important to you, it could aid in your goal of attaining fulfillment. And I agree with that. And you know, it's a different generation. And I, you know, I was commenting to my wife yesterday. I said, well, you know, when's what's Stephen doing today? You know, is he going to work out or going to over to a friend's house or whatever? And she said, no, he's upstairs sleeping. I mean, this was like, you know, noon, and he had stayed up, as all these teenagers do, all hours of the night talking to friends, at least on Friday and Saturday nights. And I said, you know, when I was his age, he's 14, getting ready to be 15 next month, I and a business partner, we had 50 yards that we were mowing every week. You know, in Houston, that was most months out of the year. Now, truthfully, I guess my buddy was old enough to have a license. He was 16 because he had a truck that we could haul our gear around in. But the thought of sleeping in bed, that was just not on the radar for me. And, you know, between sports and reading, you know, my mother, I'm not quite sure it went that far into my teenage years, but we used to go to the Pasadena Public Library. I grew up over in Pasadena, which is kind of interesting how the real estate has gone full circle, right? I mean, how many people, if you're in one of these local mentor groups, you probably know somebody that owns apartments in Pasadena. It's come full circle. Or single family. A lot of single family homes over there on those Berry Streets, as we called them, and still do. And in any event, I not only had 50 yards a week that we mowed, I had paper route. At one point, I had a Houston Post paper route as I got into high school. Started with 530 plus papers. 530. This was not a bicycle type route. I bought my first car when I turned 16. Had saved money for mowing the yards. Got a 1973 four-door Grand Torino. It was not the Starsky and Hutch model. Trust me. We were sensitive about those four doors. But in any event, I was able to get that paper out literally just by showing up. I'll never forget the old Sergeant Carter-looking branch manager took one look at me coming in at 2:30 in the morning to try to snag that route, and he said, I don't need to know anything else. You're hired. And I didn't fully understand that. I did as I got older, and I was hiring people for my practice. But in any event, that route ended 2 years later when I gave it up to move on to a family business at 1,500, almost 1,550 papers. That's every day and twice on Saturday, because we used to throw the ad section for the Sunday paper Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. And, you know, I think about my 14-year-old. Now, truthfully, I wasn't doing that, or 15, soon to be. I was 16. But I just think, man, there's no way. I mean, they're different motivations. There's different things to spend your time on. I had no cell phone. There was no internet, obviously. This would have been the mid-70s, basically. But it's such a different time. And, again, finding ways to motivate and encourage is so critical. In any event, I'm going to come back to this article as well, because he's saying that the best age when children should get money from their parents is between 28 and 33. And so I'm going to explore that further. And he says after that it's plateauing downhill regarding age. But in any event. Let's back up real quick. We've just got a couple minutes left. The tax situation is definitely going to get worse. As we discussed on Friday's show, it's just a matter of math. It's not political, really. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It will take a political will to change policies that will be significant changes that will translate to real dollars. Either that, or we're going to have to find a way to accelerate GDP growth. If we can do that, that's a silver bullet that should result in more tax receipts and could help. But otherwise, I'm going to say it just briefly, you got to get your pre-tax money in your 401ks and IRAs over to Roth. Better if you do it after you invest such money in real estate private partnerships. If you're married and live in the great state of Texas, we can help you access those funds without you quitting your job or turning 59 and a half. And those are the only two ways that HR is going to suggest you can do that. It's not true. They don't understand the law. And we've done it many times and be happy to discuss that with you if you would like to do so. Just fill out our form on the forms link at the baplanner.com site and click the call link and pick your time that you'd like to chat and be happy to fill you in on more details. But otherwise, you're going to be paying money to your silent partner and you have no idea what that rate's going to be at. But if CBO is even half right, their 2009 study on this topic, they said the rates needed to go up by 150%. That was 14 years ago, or 15 years ago now. So you're talking likely 200% range if they want to fix the problem. Now, they can Band-Aid it in a number of ways. They can raise Social Security retirement ages, they can slow down the indexing. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do, but you're talking about big cuts in benefits that most Americans are going to find very unpalatable. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in. I hear the music coming. We're at the end of the show, and we will be back on Friday, 11 a.m. right here on AM 700. KSCV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.